Excuse me. So I asked a couple of months ago if I could prepare a message for tonight, and I got it done within that week. And so I've been super excited up to this point to share it. And then with the last hour, I'm like, when will this be over? Just feeling super sick. And I'm like, oh, the baptismal's covered up. I can't go in there. So now I'll just pound through it. A couple months ago, we were at the wedding of my brother, Gregor, and his wife, Chandler. And throughout that whole day, all I could see was not only the love that they had for each other, but that the love that they had for our God. And they want to make that a key point in their marriage, that it's not only about them, but that they also have a love in God with each other. And so after that day, all I could think about was the word love. And love is a word that we use a lot in what we, like in our vocabulary. And it seems like we almost use it so much that it doesn't have a meaning anymore. Like, for girls, they'd be like, oh, I love those shoes. Or for guys, it'd be like, oh, I love hockey. It's like, it's just a word that we use now. It just, it has no actual meaning. It's just a word that we use as a filler word, per se. But, so it kind of bothered me, what does the word love actually mean? And so I had to go into the old Bible and figure out what the true meaning was. And so I figured out quickly that the love that we have for God and the love that he has for us are pretty different. And that, so we're going to figure out, when we say we love someone or something, what kind of love are we expressing? First would be our definition of love. For us, our love is a conditional love. When we love someone or something, we love them because they fulfill a condition that meets our requirements. Something that, like if we say that we love something, it's because we love something because it's beautiful or something that is fun. It meets the requirements that we have, and so we decide that it's worthy enough for our love. And our love is not only conditional, but it's also very erratic. You know, we have things like breakup and divorce, and I read just a little fact that the divorce rate in Canada is roughly 70,000 couples a year. It just shows how erratic our love is, and that it just takes a split second, and next thing you know, it's just gone. And if they hit a rough patch, it's just, they say they stop feeling love for one another, and they just call it right quits. But right now, the closest thing that we have to an unconditional love would probably be the love that our parents have for us, their children. I'm sure that I've done plenty of stupid things for mom and dad that I'm sure they hated me for, but even still, they still love me, I'm sure, or I hope. And that is the closest thing that we would have to an unconditional love. They love us through the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, even if we are never meeting their expectations, or even if we are considered unlovable by others. I'm sure some people say, when they see a nice rotten kid, they're like, how do their parents love them? They do somehow. And they love their children, doesn't stop, even when they don't feel it. This is like the love God has for us, that it never stops, but we'll see as we go on that his love for us exceeds our human definition of love to a point that it's pretty well impossible to comprehend. God's definition of love, I'll just turn over to 1 John 4:8. John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Remember those three words at the end, God is love. So the question is, how do we even begin to even comprehend that God is love? How do we understand that he is love if he is God? A familiar verse, John 3:16, I'll just read it here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. This is one way that God defines his love for us. He gave up his only Son for us. Because he gave up his Son, we get the opportunity to be with him eternally. This is amazing love because, just like everyone in this room and in the world, and including myself, we are the ones that reject him. We choose to reject him. Yet because of his tremendous love for us and his personal sacrifice of his Son, all we have to do is accept this gift to be with him forever. Just read another verse in Romans 5:8. Says, but God shows his love for us, and that way we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Just like in this verse, and as we read in John 16, we see his love for us has no conditions. It doesn't have any requirements. God won't say to us, you know, like, as soon as you start acting the way I want you to, that's when I'll love you, or like, I will send your son or my son to die for you if you say that you love me. He didn't say any of that. He did it out of love for us. And so Romans 5:8 says the opposite of that, in that he wants us to know that his love is full and that it is genuine. And that even while we were vile, dirty sinners, he still sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. We didn't have to get clean, and we didn't have to make any promises to him before we could experience his love. His love for us has and will always exist. Because of this love, he gave all that he had before we even knew that we needed his love. God's love is unconditional. It's not based on feelings or on emotions. You know, his love doesn't change if he's angry at us or if we're disappointing him. It's always there, and it's never-ending. He doesn't love us because we make him happy or just because we're so cute and lovable. That's not it either. He loves us because he is love. He made us so we could have a relationship with him, and we could only have that relationship with him because he sacrificed his own Son, who also willingly died for us so that the relationship with him could be renewed. So next, how should we define love? When the Bible says God is love, they're not saying that, you know, God is that nice fuzzy feeling that we get whenever you meet a cute girl and you start falling in love with her and get married. God is not that feeling that you have in that connection. The people that wrote the scriptures here weren't saying we can find God in what we know is our finite human love. When we read that God is love in the Bible, it actually means that God defines love. And I don't mean love as in, or I don't mean defines as in, like, you open a dictionary and it defines what the definition of a word is. I mean that God is the definition of love itself. There is no such thing as love without God. You can try as hard as you want to define love. You can do as hard as you want to try and define love without having God involved in it, but it's not possible. Our human definition of love that I got in the dictionary is a feeling of strong or constant affection for a purpose, or a person, I mean. I'll read it again. A feeling of strong or constant affection for a person. There's a pretty big key missing there. It's the word God. So we can pretty well say that our human definition of love is completely wrong, because God is love, and this definition has no God in it, then it's just a wrong statement. God is the creator of all, and he is loved by his nature. God says that love is unconditional and sacrificial, and is not at all based on feelings. Love is not an affection that we have, whether it is in our personal or our family life. To know and understand what true, genuine love actually is, and to be able to show his love to others, we must know God. We can do this by having a close and secure relationship with him, and we can have this close relationship with him by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who was God's sacrifice of love for us. I know that I've said multiple times tonight that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, but it is a point that needs to be driven home. It is something that, you know, people hear so often when they come to the meetings here or on the street, if you tell anybody that, you know, Christ died for your sins and that you need to believe him to get saved, and they hear it so much that they just brush it off. It's something that they've heard so much that they just become numb to it. But it is something you can tell I'm getting nervous. I'm losing myself. Christ Jesus died for our sins, but they just take it in like fact. It is our responsibility to show them the amazing love of God and to show them all that our Savior has done for us. The sad truth with today is that sometimes the most hurtful and rude people you can meet are the ones that are in the church, the ones that you believe are your friends in Christ. And it's a sad thing to think about, but it's true, and you can't ignore it, whether it's just you're straight up saying something mean to somebody, or maybe it's you're not saying anything at all. I know that I've heard times that we have new people come in here and they just see us and we aren't very receiving of them and we can intimidate them. I'm a kind of a big guy, but once you know me, I'm a little gentle, but when they see me, they get a little intimidated. So, and if we're not showing them any love, then they just say, I don't want anything to do with this, and they just leave. So we have to be there for each other and to show love and compassion to each other. Show them that everything will turn out perfect because God is watching over us, loving us, protecting us. And remember that while it is great to show the unsaved the love of Christ, that we also have to show the saved the same. That's why I really like doing the Christmas dinner thing here. It was nice to have a bunch of people come in and we could show them the actual love of God to them and show them firsthand rather than them coming into us and we being rejecting, not meaningfully most of the time, but we were able to put the love of God first. Even if we can only lead one person to Christ in our whole life, I think it's a life pretty well spent. I was talking to someone once, and I told them that that is my main reason that I just go to Awana and youth group still, because I'm sure the other leaders could tell you the same, that you never know, even as crazy as the kids may be or wild, sometimes they could push you a little far, but and I'm probably still doing the same at youth group. I'm sure the other people can tell you that. But you still go for just for that one chance it may pop up that you may be able to talk to them and show them the love of God and help them to reach Christ. And the most exciting part of going to Awana youth group is that you never know when that will happen. You don't know what night that you may get this opportunity, but I'm sure if you ask for it that it'll happen eventually. And then just going back to 1 John chapter 4, just want to read a couple more verses around our main verse of God is love. First John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love God, or anyone who does not love, does not know God, because God is love. In this love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's our duty to show everyone else the love of God. Although we may never fully comprehend his love, it's something that it's unthinkable, it's unfathomable to us. It's, you know, we say that his love is bottomless and that is never ending, but it's even more never ending than never ending and more bottomless than bottomless. It's something that we'll never be able to fully understand while we're here. But from what we can understand as a human understanding is that the amount of love that he has for us, we have to show to everyone else. I hope that we can go out into the world and do that, and I hope for myself that I can show a little bit of that love back to him. That's all I got. So just close for, I'll pray for like 10 minutes and we'll fill up our time. Bear with me. No, I'll just close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you can be here tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity for Mark and myself to come up and share your word, and I pray that as we leave that we can take what is said and people can apply it to their own lives, and that we can show your love to other people and that we can lead them to you. Most of all, we just want to thank you for dying for our sins and sharing your blood for us. In Jesus' name, amen.